We're looking at this 10th article of our doctrinal statement, the 10th article of doctrinal statement of a gospel church, what we believe about that. If you will, you can turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the scriptures that we have here in this article. And so we're going to be taking a look at this subject tonight of a gospel church, number 10 in our doctrinal statement, and starting off in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. The article states, "We believe that a New Testament church is a visible local assembly of baptized believers associated by covenant in the faith and fellowship of the gospel for the purpose of carrying out the Great Commission, observing the ordinances of Christ, that it was personally founded by Jesus Christ during his ministry on earth, that it is a democratic body led by the Holy Spirit with Christ as the head." And so that's wherein we stand. This is one of those doctrines that is a Baptist distinctive. This is one of the things that make us Baptist, believing what we do about the church. I'll just say this right up, and I think the verses that were chosen, at least this passage here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, is that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has always been and always will be local. It'll always be local. It'll always be visible. The Lord's church has never been, nor will it be, universal in any way. And folks that think that the Lord's church is universal, speaking about the church in the institutional sense, and they take that and they draw that over to everything about the church, they think that the church and believe and preach that the church is universal, the church never has been universal. Now, the Lord blesses us that we're members of one of the Lord's churches till the day we die or till the day that the Lord Jesus Christ takes us out of here. We will then become members of the Lord's church in glory and with the Lord. All right. And whatever place that he has for his people that were in his church, as he does everything, he'll take care of that too. And you know what? We'll be very happy with it, won't we? We will. We'll enjoy the blessing. And so, if you will, by death or by rapture, our membership will be moved. But that church is local, okay? And so the church is visible. It says here, we believe that it is a visible local assembly. Okay, so the first passage, let's take a look here, and we want to take a look at emphasis on words in this passage that speak about this subject of a gospel church, okay? And these are the verses that we have here in this in this statement. So we'll look at these. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. Okay, so the emphasis we want to mention here is here in verse number 2, the apostle Paul writing to this church. This church is in Corinth, in Greece, the nation of Greece, and he says, the church of God which is at Corinth, okay? The indication is that church is there at Corinth. That church is local to that city. That church can be seen. That church is not a building, we're going to find out. It's made of people that the Lord has put there. This church at Corinth has a pastor or pastors, maybe has some deacons, certainly has members, and has the Lord Jesus Christ as their leader. Okay? That has the promises of the Spirit of God working in this church. And at this time, Paul is writing to this church at Corinth. Okay? He's already been there, if I understand timing about this. He's already been through Corinth and is writing to them later on after at least his first visit there. And remember that Paul was sent on this mission and to this work out of the church at Antioch. Okay? So the church at Antioch and the church at Corinth are not the same, yet they are churches. The church at Antioch and the church at Corinth are not joined in any way other than by fellowship that we have in Christ. But they are autonomous. They get their directive from the Lord in heaven, and they are given the directive of what to do by the Lord Jesus Christ. So unto the church of God which is at Corinth, all these things that we'll read in these subsequent verses will apply, the brother is writing and applying to them. He says here, to them in verse number 2, that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. That word sanctified means set apart. Set apart in salvation, set apart in being a member of the Lord's church. It's a blessing to be a member of one of the Lord's New Testament Baptist churches. It's a calling to be a member of one of the Lord's New Testament Baptist churches. It's the Lord that does that. It's the Lord that saves. We've seen it's the Lord that adds to his churches. And so it's a blessing. He said, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, that's how it is done. Salvation is by the Lord Jesus, and calling to the church is by the Lord Jesus. It's the design and plan of God. Okay? Men try to change things and look to change things, but the design of the Lord is that sinners are saved, and they should seek out scriptural baptism by one of the Lord's churches, and by virtue of that baptism, join there to serve the Lord in that body. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, I mentioned that, they're saved by the Lord, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Brother Jim, there it says that with all. Well, see, it's like the brother writes that there is a common salvation. It's not saying with all a piece of the church in this place, along with other pieces of other churches. You know, looking at it from the universal context, I'm not talking about that. He's talking about how it is with all that in every place. With all that in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. He's saying the Lord has worked to establish a church here just like he's worked to establish a church in other places. It's the same way. It's the same pattern. It's the same operation of God, if you will. He says he's writing to them that are sanctified and called in this church, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. The Lord Jesus belongs to them, and he belongs to us. He is ours. He saved us. He's worked in us the same way, put us in a church, and worked to establish those churches. The spirit and the heart about this doctrine in this way is the same. The thinking is the same at Antioch. The thinking is the same at Ephesus. The thinking is the same at Philippi. The thinking is the same at Thessalonica. And the way of the Lord is the same in each of those churches. He says, grace be unto you in verse 3, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He desires that continued favor of the Lord upon them, and peace with God the Father. And that's what we need to be at peace with the Lord. How many churches, you know, and only the Lord knows about the removal, as we say, the removal of the candlestick. We get that the candlestick's there in glory with the Lord as he walks amongst the candlesticks, as he reveals himself to John in the book of the Revelation. We refer to a church going from being a church to not being a church. Only the Lord knows that. He threatened Laodicea, did he not? Or one of the other churches, Ephesus, one of those churches, he threatened them with removing their candlestick. That's in the hand of the Lord. Okay? That is in the hand of the Lord. You know what? And a church that is being threatened by the Lord for the removal of their candlestick, or the Lord removing their candlestick, is not at peace with God. They're going after another way. They're going after the way of the world, going after the way of man, going after the way even of false religion in that. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though this church had many sins, didn't this church have some sins? They did. The Apostle Paul didn't give up on them, did he? No, he didn't give up on them, and he desired that they have peace with the Lord. In verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus. He's thanking God, thanking for God's work in them, the grace, the favor of the Lord bestowed upon them. Again, we don't have anything that we have that hasn't been given to us by the Lord. It's just that way. The Lord has given to me to be in one of His New Testament Baptist churches. I didn't earn it. I didn't procure it. I was called by the Lord unto it, and it is a blessing indeed. He said, for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus, that in everything you are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. He said, the Lord is the enricher. You know, don't we need to pray? Don't we need to pray for the Lord's blessing? The apostle prayed for this church. He wants to deal with this church. He commends and praises the Lord for His working in them. They have errors and they have problems, but He hasn't written them off, has He? He hasn't. He hasn't. And we need to be careful about writing off churches, don't we? We do. We need to be careful in that. This church really had some serious things, but yet he says that they have been enriched. Okay? Now, some of the membership have been so wayward that the Lord has taken their life. Don't you remember that in the Scriptures, right? The things that are talked about in 1 Corinthians 5, the things that are talked about in 1 Corinthians 11. That there was those that are sick and those that are weak and those that were asleep. Okay? So the Lord loves them and the Lord's working in them and the Lord is chastising some of them. But there are those there also that are faithful to one degree or another. There's those, as it is in any church, that are on different levels of growth. Okay, growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, and this any blessing is from the Lord, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Knowledge of the Lord in the Scriptures and utterance to be able to proclaim it. Verse number 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. He said, what was confirmed in you? Faith in the Lord Jesus, a calling of the Lord to be baptized and be a part of His church. And joined that church that was established there in Corinth. It was confirmed in that day. See, there was one day there was no church in Corinth. And the Apostle Paul visited there and preached there. I'm thinking for a good long while, wasn't it, is the account. The Lord said that He had much people in that city. If my memory serves me right about what Acts says about Corinth. And the Lord gave the Apostle great boldness. And those Gentiles believed. They believed that word that was preached, and it was confirmed in them that they were the Lord's by the evidence of their faith. They abandoned what they knew before, and they followed after this one, the Lord Jesus Christ, preached by this Jewish man, the Apostle Paul. It was the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you, verse 7, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are no less children of the Lord saved and members of one of the Lord's churches, no less than any other, in Asia Minor or in Judea, or in Galilee or in Samaria. They were no more, but they were no less members of one of the Lord's churches there. It was confirmed, and they come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. They look for His coming. Verse 8, who shall also confirm you unto the end? And Brother Jude said that the Lord Jesus is able to keep us and present us faultless at the end, right? My paraphrase of what Brother Jude says there at the end, the last two verses of the book of Jude, he's saying the same thing here in a different way, who shall also confirm you unto the end, the perseverance of the saints, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. The good things that the Lord does for His own and that He does for His church. Verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Okay, so it's been by the Lord Jesus that this is. Church business is the Lord Jesus Christ's business. Salvation of sinners is the Lord Jesus Christ's business. It's what he does. He's saying, he reiterates, you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. Not only called in salvation to the family of the Lord, we have fellowship in salvation, having the same Heavenly Father, having the same Savior, but also we have fellowship in the things of the church. We who are members and that have been added by the Lord to his New Testament Baptist church. We've got, you know, the members of a local New Testament Baptist church have a fellowship that is to be stronger and more transcending, transcending all other things of this life. We who are members of Olmsted Baptist Church together, we've got a relationship in this church that's going to go on to eternity. We're dealing with things as members of the Lord's New Testament Baptist Church, Olmsted Baptist Church. We're dealing in things here that the Lord Jesus, sitting on the right hand of the Father, is concerned about. We've got a kinship in Christ by virtue of being him, he being our Savior, and God the Father being our Father, and then this calling into his church, being his disciples, and the ultimate calling that the Lord's given for sinners saved to worship and serve the Lord. We've got a connection. We've got a blood relation in that. We are married to Christ together in salvation and in his church. Now, there's nothing else that's going to leave here and have a connection to eternity like the Lord's work and the Lord's church. And so we need to value that. We need to value our church membership and know that our Lord is in the middle of it. So many, we've seen so many. We've been guilty of it ourselves that we would just. There are so many that are around or in the Lord's churches that are just all bored with it. They come to worship, they don't avail themselves to service, and it's like an endurance thing. I've seen it on people's faces. They come and they program themselves to endure about an hour and 15 minutes, and after that they're done. And the thing is this is a wonderful thing that we've been given. May we rejoice in it. May we praise our Lord in it and understand the value of it. God is faithful, by whom you were called in the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus has promised to meet with us tonight and help us in this our worship of him and our service and ministry unto the Lord. Verse 10, now I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He begs them by the name of the Lord. Okay, this is serious. I beseech you, brethren, and by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. Speak the same thing. They had some things we know that they weren't all speaking the same thing, weren't they? And what is it we need to speak? We need to speak what this book says. That's what we need to do. We need to speak what this good word says. And that there be no divisions among you. Deal with issues and be rid of divisions. There be no divisions. Speak the same thing. Seek the Lord's face. Seek what his word says and follow that. But that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. As the scripture says, that we need to have the same mind as Christ had. That's the reason we need this book in us. You can't put it under your pillow and lay on it and absorb it. We need to read it. We need to listen to it. We need to hear it. It needs to become a part of us. So when we're faced with things in this life, in our worship and service of the Lord in the church, we might have the same mind based on what the Lord says, that you'd be perfectly joined in the same mind and in the same judgment by what the Lord says. Judge not that you be not judged. There are some judgments we make, but they're not based on what we think. They're not based on what we what our experience or what our fathers taught us. Our judgments are to be based on thus saith the Lord. If the Lord said it, you and I are to repeat it and refer to it and point the world to the truth and abide by the truth in the Lord's church. The same thing that Christ says, no divisions about it, perfectly joined together and in the same mind and the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. And so he's going to deal with that. Yeah, there's a rat in the church. Thing is, Olmsted Baptist Church's business is Olmsted Baptist Church's business. We have no apostle about to inquire about how we're doing. But if we lived in a day back then when there was an apostle about to inquire about how we're doing, well, when the apostle asked you about it, you should give answer. Okay? So, Brother Chloe is not a rat, or the one of his family is not a rat. No. The apostle asked, the apostle inquired, no doubt, and they honestly told what was at hand. Because there was some trouble in this church, wasn't there? The apostle said as much, that it fell on him, the care of the churches. The apostles existed and they were ordained to the Lord to be there for that time of transition, that time of providing the Word of God and the bringing of the Word of God for the sake of the churches, right? From the book of Acts all the way to the book of 2 Thessalonians. Epistles directly directed at churches about church issues, so that we might know how to operate. And so the Lord gave apostles for that day and for that work and for that purpose, and that we get our instruction from that. The book of Acts, it tells us about how churches are started, how they perpetuate, how churches make other churches, and has gone on and going on and going on through the millennia since our Lord Jesus started that first church and left her there at Jerusalem. He said there's contentions among you, and he's going to deal with those. He's going to write two letters about it, isn't he? The first and the second. And he's going to run into a thing, I'll mention this, he's going to run into a thing that there are those that think that he doesn't have the authority to talk to them about the things he's talking to them about. They have doubt about the apostles' authority over them. And so, well, it should be. We need to follow the leadership that the Lord gives. We all are together to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord has given churches pastors, that he might be a leader, one taken from amongst them. I think that's exactly the way it is. One taken from amongst them to be a leader of them, all of them together following the Lord. And so he's going to deal with these contentions, and we know much about them. Now, has it been talking to the big universal church? There would be no way to get this word all about. There would be no way for the big universal church of all the saved that are alive upon the earth or that have been alive. You know, I mean, that thing can go on and on and on. Those in glory can't be in one mind with us, can they? They're in glory. Their mind well exceeds ours, right? They're there with the Lord. They know expressly the will of the Lord, don't they? Because they're there in his presence. He's not talking to a universal church. He's not talking to all the family of God. And that's the misunderstanding there. Folks take the family of God and make that into some kind of universal, invisible church. It had to be invisible. That's what the Protestants came up with, because the Catholics had already got the corner on the universal visible church. And so, has he been talking to all the churches in Asia Minor? No, he's talking to this church. Now, can these things be taken and applied to Olmsted Baptist Church? Indeed, we've got things that we can learn, can't we? Indeed. But the church is local. It is a body. He's challenged them. He's beseeched them to speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you. and be perfectly joined together and in the same mind and in the same judgment. He said these contentions need to cease. Verse 12, now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And this is where our passage ends off. And I think maybe the reasoning for this is, at least what I see in it, is that who are we to be following? A man? No. We're to be following the Lord. We're to follow the Lord. As pastor, I'm to lead you with what the Lord says, with thus saith the Lord. And we're not in one camp or the other camp or the other camp. Talking to a brother here last week, and he said how it is. He said how it is amongst Baptists that are close, but not real close. Folks that we would know. You take up with one particular group of churches, and then another group of churches blackballs you. You take up with a particular man and have fellowship with him, and other brethren find out about it, and then you're on the outs. You know, we can fellowship with whoever the Lord fellowships, can't we? With? Now, that'll make us stand out. But I'd rather follow the Lord and fellowship with who the Lord fellowships with than be in a clique. I'm looking to be in the Lord's. Well, the Lord doesn't have a clique, does he? That's bad. That would be bad to say of that of the Lord. But I want to follow the Lord. And disagreements, we may disagree about different passages. We might disagree about different operations. But if a man's saved, I can fellowship with him from the standpoint of being saved. If a man's a Baptist, now I'm not talking about a name, but I'm talking about the distinctives that make a Baptist, I can fellowship with him as a Baptist. We can have church fellowship in that. And there's indeed wisdom in those things. Is Christ divided? Should a church be divided? No. No, it should not. And so this first passage, that's all we're going to take a look at tonight. We'll take a look at these others next time. But of a gospel church, indeed the Lord Jesus built his church. It's really something how it is with the Lord's church. The Lord's church and the distinctives of the Lord's church, what makes us Baptists, they're things that are of great importance and rate very high with the Lord Jesus and God the Father in heaven. Remember, Jesus didn't do, we saw it Sunday morning, Jesus didn't do anything that the Father didn't tell him to do. Remember that? That's what the Scripture says, what the Lord Jesus said out of his mouth. So that means that the Lord came and built his church. You know who told the Lord Jesus to build his church? God the Father. Right? The Lord Jesus said, I can't do anything other than what the Father's told me. I can't say any word other than what the Father's given me. He was totally submissive to the will of the Father as he came to this earth as a man. And the Father told Jesus to build his church. This is important business. You know, the Lord doesn't care about the Elks Club. And he doesn't care about football. And I'm not saying he doesn't have folks that maybe are in some of those things that aren't saved. I'm not saying that. But that's not his work. He doesn't care about the clubs of men. He doesn't care about the activities of men. He knows about them and nothing thwarts him. And he can work with people even in the midst of those things. But his institution is the church. He made marriage. He made government. And he made that third institution that we're a part of. His local New Testament Baptist Church. And the Lord is interested in anything. May we understand that. May we understand that it's a privilege to come to meet together to worship. It's a privilege to come together and do the efforts of service that we do to this region and community. It's a blessing to be saved and added to the Lord's church here where we meet and where we headquarter out of, if you will, to be a bright and shining light to this part of Logan County. And may we not forget it. And may we be thankful for it. And may we praise our Lord for it. May we rejoice in it. And may our brothers and sisters in Christ that are members of the church, may they join too, as they are physically able to do. I know there's hindrances, but may the Lord help in that. The things that make up the Lord's church, I'm going to say this one more thing and then we'll close with this. The things, the doctrines of the Lord's church are things that are highly esteemed with the Lord, and you mark it down, are very not esteemed with the world. The distinctives that make us Baptists are greatly esteemed and established by God and are not esteemed at all by the world. This thing of the church being local. Who believes that? Yeah. Baptists. That's one point. That'd be a good message to preach sometime, wouldn't it?